Hey, everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian, the birthday boy today, and I'm joined by, in studio, the one, the only, the visitor of visitors, Rich Stambolian.
From another planet that's 5 minutes away, fortunately for me, it's an easy commute.
Are you from another planet? Is that true?
You know what? The rumors are persisting, and it's something that my wife tells me all the time.
That you're from another planet. Just, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I think that's very accurate.
Somewhere out there.
You haven't been in studio since when? WrestleMania?
Since night one of WrestleMania, when it was WrestleMania, and we were here with Jersh, our the world's greatest frat boy.
Yeah,
slut boy. Flat boy.
He is a flat boy.
He's very flat. He's two-dimensional.
Rich got me a present here. He brought me a beautiful bottle. I haven't opened it, but the card, I'm going to read this for everybody. It's my birthday, by the way. I turned 37. A lot of people have been asking me how old I am. Apparently, I either look really way younger than I am or way older. There's no, like, accurate answer.
Yeah.
I've gotten 30, which I'll take. I'll take 30. I'll take 31. I'll take 32.
Absolutely.
I will not take 40 or 41.
You don't look like you're 40.
I don't look like I'm 40. My skin's hanging on, man.
Yeah. You got to... Listen, both of us have discussed that how much stuff we got to put on our faces now.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
So, here is... I got a bottle, and the bottle says, Rich's card reads... And I kid you not.
So
thanks for all the orgasms. Happy birthday, Andrew. I think I'll have another. Love, Rich.
This is taking a turn, guys.
Here it is. I don't know if I can focus in, but here you go. And on the back, it says, anytime, anywhere, make time for pleasure.
Yeah.
Where did you get this?
My wife bought a bunch of stuff, and all these cards were to varying degrees in the boxes, just in case, I guess, if you were handing them... Yeah. These things out as gifts. So I was like, oh, Andrew's birthday's next week. Why not?
Oh.
Let's get started.
Ooh, yeah. Basil Hayden.
Yeah.
One of my favorites, by the way.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Basil Hayden's one of my favorite whiskeys.
Awesome.
Beautiful.
Let's get ripped, bro.
Beautiful. I got to be a good boy. I feel like I can't do that anymore.
Let's get rizipped.
Rizipped. I'll get rizipped. Guys, this show is all about professional wrestling. We're going to have a lot of fun today. Nice quick one. Today for everybody, I do have a lot of news to talk about, obviously.
Yeah.
I was told a piece of information that I'm going to now announce today on the show, and then hopefully MG Geek and Jonathan will work at this and put it together on TikTok and YouTube, because this is a big story. Uh-huh. But there is a ton of stuff happening in wrestling. I know that you've been following everything this week. Did you like what you saw this week with all the shows? I mean, even Raw wasn't terrible.
Listen, I think I made this announcement last week.
Plug it in. You're out.
Am I? Oh, boy.
Yeah, there you
go. I'm so excited. I think I made this announcement, quote unquote, last week on the show. I'm kind of done with Raw. I tuned in for 3 minutes the other day, was like, no thanks, and that's it.
Yeah. It was not easy. It was not an easy show. There you go. It's okay. You could sneeze. Raw was not an easy show to watch. Obviously, SmackDown... Jimmy Uso has returned.
Cool.
All right, fine. SmackDown ratings were pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had that throwback episode on Friday, and it was a nonsense episode.
It's very whack, to be honest with you.
So I asked, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, guys, I'm like, normally when you guys do stuff like this, like a Legends or like a retro or a throwback, there's so much more effort put into it. And immediately the response was, oh, yeah, this wasn't our idea. It was a Fox mandate. For all their sports programming to do like a retro night.
Mm-hmm.
And they just did like the bare minimum and just put graphics up.
It was graphics like nothing. You would have expected something kind of funky. Teddy Long showed up, right?
Teddy Long showed up. They also were talking about how the guys were going to be in like different gear. Like they were going to dress up. And that opening package was such a freaking conundrum. It was honestly watching it. It was guys that don't watch wrestling. Were told, hey guys, do like a throwback episode.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay. So they did the Saturday, was it the primetime intro or the TNT intro, right? The primetime wrestling intro. That was the video.
Yeah.
They had a SmackDown package. They had the fist and all the logos were the old school Raw logo, WWE logo, not even like old school SmackDown. It made no sense.
I think they showed the Ico Pro commercial and I want to say like, everybody was, I think the fist was the big thing that people were talking about.
The virtual fist.
If you haven't watched, you know, if you watch SmackDown from its inception, those first few seasons had like a giant man-made fist coming out of the stage.
I'm into it.
But now that they're doing the man-made digital fist thing. The digital statue stuff, like when Roman comes out, that thing fools people. You know, what are you doing? Don't stand up. Ugh, you make me so uncomfortable when you stand up in the studio.
I'm standing.
This is gross. Oh, yeah? Is it like that?
It is.
Oh, boy. Anyway, so SmackDown used to have this big fist, and now that they have the capability to do, like, the digital 3D nonsense, they did the digital fist, and it looked fine.
Yeah.
But when people see that Roman statue, people think it's a real thing sometimes. I see it on, like, the timeline.
You know,
on my social media feed.
That it's like real.
People
yeah.
are like, whoa, they're moving that in and out of the frame.
Dude, that Roman intro is great, though. You know, with that 8K camera.
You like the hologram? I mean, not the hologram, the new music?
I like everything. I like the whole package for Roman. I think he's excellent. So that happened on... Those were the big things on SmackDown, obviously. We also found out, I think we discussed it last week, that Daniel Bryan's contract is over.
Mm-hmm.
We brought that up and what his possibilities are. We'll see. Next couple of weeks. We'll know more. Raw, Jinder Mahal has returned with a new entourage. What is it, Veer and Stinky? What is it, Shanky?
Is it Shanky? Yeah, Veer and Shanky.
And Shanky.
One of them was a baseball player, right?
One of them was like a top prospect.
Okay.
I believe he was I think Veer was a top prospect pitcher.
Okay.
I kind of like Jinder Mahal back.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know why? I'll tell you why.
Go, tell me.
I'll tell you why.
Tell me.
This dude is a wrestler.
Classic
sense of a professional wrestler. It's Jinder Mahal.
Big.
Jacked up.
Tall.
Ethnic.
Yes.
Right? Perpetuating his ethnicity heavily.
Still could be Italian. It is wrestling. He could be Sicilian.
He is Sicilian. That's the reality. Jinder Mahal is Italian. They only use Italians in WWE. Did you know that? The Usos, Italian.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay, Seth Rollins, Italian.
20 years
Bobby Lashley, Italian.
20 years from now, I wouldn't be surprised. That day when I found out Chief J. Strongbow was an Italian man, it threw me for a loop. I was like, what?
Vince McMahon, Italian. Braun Strowman, Italian.
Big Italian.
Big Italian. Drew McIntyre, he's also Italian.
Huge.
It's, you know, everybody's Italian. Bianca Belair, Italian.
Oh, everybody's Italian.
Enzo Amore, not Italian.
All right, he's the German.
Ukrainian. Think German. No, Ukrainian. Yeah, he's from Ukraine. Yeah. Yeah. What do you think of Alexa Bliss and the doll?
Yeah, whatever, man. You know what? Like, it's fine. I honestly have not taken a poop on it, but I have to look at Raw sometimes and be like, am I entertained by this? You know?
And you know what, though? Are you?
No.
Ever.
Not ever, but I haven't been in the last few weeks. Like, it's not like I'm looking for, like, that adrenaline rush of pro wrestling. I don't care. And you know me. Like, you've known me for a very long time. I'm a very minimal, low expectations fan when it comes to everything. You know, like, I don't really complain. But if something's, like, just spinning its wheels, it's not entertaining for me, you know?
I gotta... By the way, we're matching today. Yeah. We're in our queen's finest.
Black t-shirts. Adidas sneakers.
You're wearing shorts.
Black shorts. Adidas sneakers. Yeah. Holy shorts.
You saw my new J's?
Let me see.
You want to see my new Jordans? I took my foot off. Look at these.
Oh, nice.
Look at these.
You get those birthday J's?
Yeah.
Awesome, man.
Birthday J's.
Very nice.
That's all I do now. I'm a 37-year-old man that just wears Jordans, and I can't get the shoe back on. I got to wait till Rich is talking.
I get the shoe back on. There's a great Bill Burr quote, and I'm going to paraphrase it. He did a podcast like a couple of months ago, and he, I think, is in his early 50s, and he was like, you know what really gets me about New York guys is that they dress like it's the first day of ninth grade.
That's fucking great. That's so accurate, dude.
Like crisp sneakers, like
hat.
Yeah, hat. I got my hat right. Yeah. I got my dude.
You got a hat always, J's, you know. That is actually very accurate. I always dress like a... I went to like one of my friend's barbershops because I wanted like a really good fade.
Yeah.
If you're from New York, there's nothing better than going to like a Dominican guy to get a fade, you know?
Guess so.
I came out, dude. I came out looking like a crisp middle school drug dealer.
Yeah, dude. All right? Absolutely.
My fade, I had a zero on the sides.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I had my Jordans. I had my baseball cap. I had my big bomber jacket. I'm selling weed to middle school kids. I mean, it's the epitome of being from Queens.
Uh-huh.
So, I thought, you know, this is what I'm thinking. Like, we look back at that corny era of WWE. By the way, we're in 1992, 93 right now.
You think so?
93, 94.
All right.
We're in this era. We've officially hit this, right?
Okay,
Vince,
cool.
All about the big guys.
Cool.
Forcefully.
Very forcefully.
The little guys are the workers. The big guys are the main attraction. Mm-hmm. And you have people putting hexes on other ones, bleeding black goo. When we look back at that Papa Shango stuff, yeah, we agree that it's ridiculous, but I look back, I'm like, that's fucking gnarly. And I loved it as a kid. I was like, wow, this is pretty wild, because I was a kid.
Yeah.
Is that the attempt? Like, are the kids that were 11, 12 now watching this and saying like, oh, that's pretty cool?
I don't know. You know, I think it's very subjective to go off, to agree with you, and also to go off on a separate tangent. The Booker T A&E documentary came out on Sunday, right?
Yeah.
It was very good. It was very heartfelt. It was horrifying at some parts, because I never realized how hard this guy's life was.
Well, he was arrested 26 times.
Something like
that. For armed robbery? Is that what it was?
He was put in jail for a couple of years. He committed 26 robberies.
There you go. That's what it is. Yeah.
There's one part where, like, and Vicky was watching it with me, and she was very like, wow, I never knew. There's one part where he goes, you know, like, it was different to be like a black superstar back in the day. And then they showed clips of like Coco Beware and Papa Shango. And I was like, when I was a kid, man, I loved Coco Beware.
I did too.
And I love Papa Shango.
Me too.
So it's subjective, you know, like, do you think, like, you know, to like further your point a little bit, I don't know if kids now look at wrestling and go, whoa, or do they look at wrestling and their parents go, why are you watching this?
You know, it's funny, like Mike's kids, they love wrestling, right? Mm-hmm. They watch wrestling, but there are moments, they like the big guys. It's fascinating. Like, they love like Braun Strowman, Big Show, Drew McIntyre, Bobby Lashley. Those are the guys they talk about. They don't talk about Daniel Bryan. I mean, Daniel Bryan's an exception, actually. Let me not use, but they don't talk about, you know, Seth
Cesaro.
There you go. Cesaro, you know, they don't care about that. They look at the cartoon aspect of it. So for us, I think it was cool when Coco Beware would come out with the freaking bird and do this shit, you know? By the way, one of my favorite tag teams, Coco and Owen.
Yes. I thought you meant like Coco.
Forget. Like, he's not my favorite. No, he's not my favorite at all. So, Jinder Mahal's back. Alexa Bliss came out with the doll, that whole thing. We'll skip that. NXT was a pretty good show.
Solid show.
Okay. Karrion Kross is a star. 100%. This guy's presence, his delivery, it is there. Do you have confidence that this is going to work on the main roster?
No. I think he should be kept on NXT for a while. Also, my worry with him, again, this is just like a weird, like a fanboy thing, you know? He looks dominating and big on NXT, right?
Yeah.
What happens when he's standing next to Randy Orton?
That's an actually interesting comparison, because that's the exact comparison I was given when I asked somebody. They're like, yeah, I mean, he looks great, but you put him up next to Norton, what happens?
6'5", 280.
I don't know. I don't. Well, what is he, 6'3"?
I don't know, but that's in like wrestle speak, because nobody has like the exact height, right?
No, only in professional wrestling can you go from 5'8" to 6'3".
Like, you'd be billed at like 6'1".
I'm 5'9" and like a half. So probably. Yeah,
you'd be billed at 6'1".
I would feel comfortable at 6 feet if they billed me at 6 feet.
Yeah.
6'1" is stretching. I'm gonna have to put a couple more pads in those
boots.
There
you go. You know, but I feel like it's you never know the accurate truth.
No,
you know? Like, what? All right, I've said this story before. Like, when I met War Machine.
Okay.
I was like, oh, I'm gonna meet these giant dudes backstage.
They're not that big.
Well,
same with like Bobby Fish. Yeah. We met Bobby Fish.
Very surprised.
Very wide, muscular guy, but not like this huge guy. But that's the industry. Those guys are less and less now.
Well, that's a personal thing too, because I'm like about like 6'2", 6'3", maybe.
Yeah.
6'3" on a good day.
So you're taller than most people.
And I'm like, I want my wrestlers to be way taller than me.
Yeah, me too.
You know?
NXT, let's go down this card, Rich, if you have it in front of you. Karrion Kross came out, defeated Austin Theory with Johnny Gargano outside. They're
a good match.
It was a good match, and it was a decent show, but they don't have the star power on this thing.
Why do you say that?
Who's the main star of the show?
Well, I do think it's still Finn Balor in a weird way.
Yeah.
But this is kind of how NXT was, right? Like that when it was the hour-long show, you'd get your 10-minute main event with your star. Samoa Joe, Nakamura, Sami Zayn, etc. Kevin Owens, right? Now, I feel like that's kind of spread out where Balor is still the top guy in a weird way.
Balor's still the top guy. Gargano's still one of the top guys. Mm-hmm. You have Karrion Kross. You got Pete Dunne. You know, they're top guys. They're not bad, but they're not, like, I don't know. There's something off about the show. There's something that they need to do, and I can't say what it is.
Who would you make your top guy? Who do you think has that star power to attract an audience in NXT right now?
I would move Nakamura to NXT.
Yes.
In a freaking heartbeat.
Absolutely.
Like, I wouldn't even think twice about it. That would be, like, if you told me, like, okay, what do you do?
Yeah.
I would have Nakamura go down to NXT. Mm-hmm. I would keep Balor there a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I would bring Ricochet back to NXT.
Okay.
And now you have two guys that are big names that you can mix and match everywhere. Okay. You know, those are guys that could work with everybody. Karrion Kross could work with Nakamura.
Yeah.
Johnny Gargano could work with Nakamura. Tommaso Ciampa could work with Nakamura. And the same thing with Ricochet. I would put Ricochet in the North American title picture. Mm-hmm. Have him do stuff with them. You know, there's so many moving parts. But if they just have like one or two more guys that are NXT guys that maybe went up prematurely. I think for Nakamura, it's a different story. Nakamura, they got cold on him too quick. I have no idea why. That heel turn totally deflated him. You know, they changed his entrance when that was a big part of him getting over. The whole thing. I mean,
I'll tell you why.
Why?
They wanted every single one of those New Japan signings to fail, I think. And I'm not. And listen, that's again.
Maybe
that's
in just, a weird way.
That's just speculation. But I do think, like, there was that there's the attitude of, oh, yeah, these guys are popular. Let's ruin them, but let's see what they got for us, you know? And AJ is the one. Gallows and Anderson, Shinsuke Nakamura, AJ Styles. AJ's the one that is so, so talented. He's been around more, I think, than the other two guys.
Yeah.
That he clawed his way to his spot, right? With Nakamura, I want to say it was that John Cena match where he dumped John Cena on his head and somebody in the back went, hey, you can't hurt a top guy.
Maybe it's something, because how do you put this guy in WrestleMania, you know, give him a WrestleMania title match? How do you make him win the Royal Rumble?
Mm.
How is he one of your more breakout stars in that time frame, 2016, 2017, 2018, and you totally cool off on him? There's a reason. I don't know what that reason is. I don't know why they decided that, but that's what they did.
Do you think it's because WWE can only book an Asian superstar as a comedy character?
I don't know, man. I don't think they get it. I really don't. Mm. I don't think they understand.
Like, you would never see Yuji Nagata on Monday Night Raw.
We should talk about that. In that match.
In that match.
In that match, yeah. Never.
Exactly.
Never, ever, ever. Exactly. Ever.
But you get Choppy Choppy.
You get Choppy Stupid. Choppy. You get no speaky English.
You get
right?
Akira Tozawa, whatever he's doing.
Whatever the hell he's doing.
Whatever they turn Tajiri into. Which was hysterical and entertaining.
Yeah.
But it just seems like they don't know what to do with these guys. Kushida, they're doing a good job with.
Kushida's fine. Well, again, NXT's generally great with them. Move them to the main roster. Yeah. That's when everything changes. NXT Tag Team Champions, MSK, defeated Breezango in a non-title match. All right, whatever.
Do you think, my wife walked in on this match, and she was like, oh, these guys are still a thing?
They're still doing a thing?
And I was like, yeah. And I imagine, again, this is not a knock on anything or NXT. Like, we love the show. But I was like, do you think those guys are backstage going, why aren't we fired? Why aren't we somewhere else?
Right, I think they've thought that, definitely.
Yeah.
But where are they going to go? How do you put them over somewhere else?
MLW.
You know? Maybe. You know what? That might be cool somewhere else. Somewhere else, somewhere else.
Yeah, somewhere else, somewhere else. Not, you know, AEW or Ring of Honor or anything, but like MLW, sure. You know?
Leon Ruff attacked Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne defeated Leon Ruff. Pete cut a nice promo yelling and screaming, which I liked.
Mm-hmm.
NXT Women's Champion Raquel Gonzalez with Dakota Kai defeated Mercedes Martinez to retain. I thought this was a good match. Wasn't terrible. The arrival of the Hit Row, Swerve Scott's faction. What do you think of this?
I'm okay with it. You know, the big star is AJ Francis.
Yeah, it's AJ Francis. It's Adonis.
Ashanti the Adonis.
Yeah. And
B-Fab.
B-Fab, there you go.
You know what? Like, as soon as, and I, again, not a knock, but as soon as I saw this, I was like, you know, they didn't keep Jade Cargill.
No.
But they got somebody else to be that Jade Cargill, you know?
Interesting.
And, yeah. And I feel like there's so many parallels between, like, a lot of guys in NXT and a lot of guys that they could have signed. Like, Kurt Stallion could have been Hangman.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like that.
There's a lot of those.
That's what Hangman could have been.
Yeah.
You know?
He's a cowboy type.
Yeah, he's a cowboy type, you know, but I think it's fine. I feel like AJ Francis is... AJ Francis has such a big personality, and he's been around the block as far as an entertainer goes, that I feel like in that segment, he outshined Swerve a little bit.
Interesting.
And I really like Swerve.
I got to rewatch it. I didn't get that vibe. But he played football, right, this guy?
Is
it Miami Dolphin?
When you look at AJ Francis, you go, this guy's going to be something just because of how comfortable he seems.
Yeah.
You know?
His name was Top Dollar?
Yes, that his name? That's
okay.
His name.
Okay, that's what they went by. Okay, that's what I thought. Top Dollar. Ridiculous name. Not a fan of it, but it is what it is.
Best part of NXT, I feel like, are the Cameron Grimes bits.
Dude, great, right? He got outbid on the house by Ted DiBiase. How much was the bid? 20-something million?
$20 million.
$20 million?
And he was like, I can't afford $20 million, DiBiase! And it's funny because it's so tongue-in-cheek that it's like this mishmash of universes from the 80s Ted DiBiase bits of him going to the jewelry store and buying everything, or like buying
so
shit,
good.
You know, they never explain what he does, right?
Cameron Grimes?
No, Ted DiBiase.
He's just a rich guy.
Yeah.
I think it's inherited wealth.
Okay.
Right? Isn't that what it is? Generational wealth he has?
Endless money.
He didn't make it with wrestling, obviously.
Right, right.
You don't wear that kind of tuxedo around.
Dollar sign tuxedo? No.
A dollar sign tuxedo walking around town.
When you were a kid, did you think that's how millionaires dress?
I honestly thought that's how millionaires dress. Like the black tuxedo one. I knew the green one was like for glitz and glam. But the black one, I was like, yeah, that's how they all dress.
When you were a kid, you could separate the show from the actual.
Yes. Yeah, I could.
I thought millionaires dressed like the Monopoly man.
All of them. With the cane and the top hat.
John Rockefeller, you know?
That's a forgotten aesthetic. That we are the last generation to grow up with that.
Should we bring it back?
We should, actually. Today. Kyle O'Reilly defeated Oney Lorcan with Pete Dunne. Bobby Fish returned to fight Lorcan and Dunne. NXT Cruiserweight Champion. Mm-hmm. Kushida defeated Santos Escobar in a 2 out of 3 pinfall match to retain the title. I thought that was a good match.
Solid match, man. Those guys have a lot of chemistry.
Yeah. Next week, Johnny Gargano, Bronson Reed. Cool North American title match. Ratings were not good
for NXT.
Not good for NXT. 697,000 viewers with a 0.17 rating in the 18 to 49. Obviously, this is a rebuilding phase. This is the worst since being on Tuesdays, down from the 761 of the previous week. I'm not going to take this as a sign of bad things. I think they're in a rebuilding process.
Yeah.
I think the things have been... by the way, did you notice that they changed the coloring a little bit for the show?
I wasn't really paying attention, but you did blow up the group chat with your 2 cents about it.
There's a little bit more color, less greens and yellows,
okay,
which I like. NXT next week is going to be increasing the attendance for the Capitol Wrestling Center. Which is nice. You're going to have more people in the building, which is great.
Cool.
I'm surprised they're not. I was certain they were going to incorporate a live audience in the Thunderdome.
Yes, I agree with that.
And when I asked, they said they're going to have it would be a very difficult time because the way things are set up, it's not per fire code. For live audience.
Interesting.
Okay. Like for that to have more people in
for
the building.
For that structure.
Because this, and off camera, it's a real shit show. Like there's stuff everywhere. Like it's really not great.
Like Thunderdome.
Yeah. So it's aesthetically, it doesn't look present. Like, you know what it's like? You know how I clean the studio? Like, this is actually like a functional room.
Yes.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Where a lot of other people, like Spencer's studio.
Yeah.
It's one shot and that's a set on the shot, but it's like in a, like there's nothing else.
Yeah, yeah.
This whole room has been set up like a set.
Yes.
So if I go to another camera or if people come in, they're like, oh, okay, it doesn't look crazy. But if I only had like one wall with like, you know, foam padding and a camera pointing, you're like, okay, well, this is kind of weird.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think right now they're in that weird category. So I do have some news. I was told this last night and yesterday afternoon, and I was told to wait to talk about it and post about it until AEW. So a little bit more people find out about this. But it looks like WWE is going to be touring starting July 16th.
Cool.
This is for the main roster shows. So SmackDown would be the first one with a live audience. I have no idea where they're going to do it. I don't know anything beyond that. The date to start touring is July 16th. Or listen, I could be wrong with that. You know what, Rich? Let me read the message.
Okay.
You want to do this? Let's do this here.
Let's do it. Can you read it like an old school telegram?
Let's see.
Andrew, stop.
Fans back with July 16th to the 19th.
Cool. That was it?
Now, I don't know if that's like a one-off week that they're going to have fans. You know?
Are they gonna make sure everybody brings their vaccine cards and all that stuff?
I don't. It's Florida. I'm assuming they're doing Florida. Let me just say, that's just an assumption. So 16th is Friday. 19th is Monday. So this may be that they're going to run for the 16th and 19th, but they got to be out of the Thunderdome that week.
Well, if it's Florida, they're going to have machines set up to suck the vaccine out of
you. Out of you. Yeah, that's how they do it over there. They reverse it. So I think that's pretty cool. A live audience.
Yeah.
If they do Florida, obviously, cool. Full capacity. Yeah. AEW, going to have a live audience for their show. We'll talk about that once we get to AEW, but I think this is pretty cool. I have not even posted about this. I have not done anything about this, so we'll have more information in the next couple days. I'll probably get some today, and I'll be too drunk to post it, so I'll probably get it later on. But it looks like July 16th, they're going to go back to having a live audience in some capacity.
I think that's cool. I'm also kind of like, I'm pumped to just, as long as it's safe, I'm pumped to watch live wrestling again, you know, like on TV. And here in the studio.
No, I just want violence. Like, forget about the whole virus stuff. Mm-hmm. I want it to be just violent. Like, unsafe in that way. Like, a lot of old, drunk guys in the crowd.
Like,
wanted to fight.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, like Sturgis. Yeah, I want it to be Sturgis.
You want Sturgis.
NXT TakeOver In Your House 2021 was announced for June 13th, hosted by Todd Pettengale.
Great.
95.5 WPLJ, Scott and Todd in the mornings. SummerSlam dates also announced. It looks like it's going to be August 22nd. There were rumors that it was going to be earlier, but they're saying there's numerous rumors right now where the location could be. Somebody brought up LA. I highly doubt it's going to be Los Angeles, okay? Due to capacity issues.
Well.
MSG is a front runner. I asked a friend of mine there. They said it's been obviously discussed.
Mm-hmm.
I was told MSG for September, so maybe they're moving it up, and they would do, I guess, SummerSlam on Sunday, and then Monday they would have Raw there, and then maybe they could tape Tuesday for SmackDown. You know, if you're running the Garden.
You excited about wrestling coming back to the Garden?
I am, yeah. If you can let, that's my favorite venue, or the same Vegas, sure. So I don't know. One or the other, we'll probably find out more. I don't think it's going to be either venue.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to be either venue.
What venue do you think it's going to be?
I don't know. My gut says Florida, mm-hmm. but they are so adamant into leaving Florida right now. They want to be on the road. Like, I've asked, I'm like, why don't you want to do Miami? Why don't you want to do Fort Lauderdale? They don't want to do Florida.
Texas.
Texas they could do.
I'm thinking of like places with kind of lax restrictions.
I think by August, it's all done.
Yeah.
You know, like, nobody's wearing a mask in the city anymore. Like, it's over.
Yeah, I mean,
60% of people have at least one shot, you know, like in the city.
You can't count New York as part of the rest of the country.
No, Andrew. I can't count. Well, the rest of the country, everything is wide open.
Yeah.
You know, so they could go anywhere at this point then. WrestleMania Backlash this Sunday. A lot of people did not realize there's a pay-per-view this Sunday.
We didn't realize there was a pay-per-view this Sunday.
It snuck up on us. So here are the matches as of this morning, Thursday morning.
Yeah.
You're going to have a WWE Universal Championship match with Roman Reigns with Paul Heyman against Cesaro.
Cool.
You know, it would be cool if Cesaro won.
Oh, for sure.
It'd be really, it would be something interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even care if they do a title flip immediately. I think this is very cool.
Like Cesaro holds the belt for a week and then
whatever, you know, it's something different. Bobby Lashley with MVP versus Drew McIntyre and Braun Strowman. Do you keep the title on Bobby Lashley or drop it back to, or change it to Drew or Braun? What do you think, Rich?
I think you just keep it on Bobby Lashley for a while.
So, you know? By the way, I don't know if we're going to do a watch along for this one. I don't know. I got it. I'll let you know. It's my birthday weekend.
Yeah, I know, man. You got a party.
I'm enjoying this birthday here.
Yeah.
37 it fucking years
started,
old.
Just started, baby.
Just started. Listen, in 20 minutes, we're going to be at the bar getting trashed at Bourbon Street.
I'm going to be so rude today.
Oh, yeah?
All right, Rude Rich is coming out.
Oh, man.
Yeah, bad boy.
Bad boy Rich.
If anybody, if Steve or Bob shows up, man, they're getting...
Bob is showing
they're
up.
They're getting chopped.
Oh, Bob is coming. Brutal Bob. I think he's in the chat.
Vicky hasn't experienced this in a while. Drunk husband might come home. That's not a bad thing, by the way, guys. It just means I'm like very loose.
He gets very loose. Loose is a way to describe
it. That means eating cookies with no shirt on.
Yeah,
he's
not going and beating his wife. Let me just say that.
That's what drug husband
means. You're saying like, you overly Greek, and then you just slap her? No, that doesn't happen.
It's generally...
She does that to you.
It's yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's generally... By drunk husband, I mean I just get crumbs everywhere.
me as a drunk husband, I just pass out now. I just go to bed. Like, very nicely. I'm like, okay, bedtime. See you later.
Dude, man, like it's...
I can't drink anymore, man.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's weird. I never thought I'd be having that conversation, but I've had that conversation like 3 times this week of like, you know, I get a couple of beers in me and the next day
I feel
a little fuzzy.
Well, I got to tell you, I no longer, because I've you know, New York legalized weed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know this. I'm not a big smoker.
No.
I can't smoke anymore because of the pneumonia that I had about 2 years ago now.
Oh, yeah.
It ruined my lungs. I still have scar tissue in my lungs. That's why COVID, I was like, not afraid of like getting sick, but I was a little concerned because my lungs are really beat up.
Mm-hmm.
So I started taking edibles to go to sleep, and I found one that's like the most unbelievable experience for me that I very much enjoy. Like, mm-hmm. I just take it. I never take one during the day. You'll never see me take one during the day. It's always like 6:30, 7 mm-hmm. o'clock. If I'm home, pop one and just hang out and watch TV. That's it.
Yeah, that sounds nice.
Yeah.
Your daytime is reserved for a little bit of this.
Yeah, a little of the bad stuff.
Ooh. And some scissor.
And scissor.
I know you're a big scissor guy.
Robitussin.
Really into lean.
I can't believe it. I think that's hysterical, by the way.
What?
Lean.
Is that what we're gonna do today? You want to mix?
We're just gonna take Robitussin, codeine Robitussin, and put in a cup with 7-Up.
Let's crush some oxys,
what a
bro.
What a weird thing to discover you like.
Also, by the way, guys, like, we're big drug pussies. We may joke about all this shit, but like, I am terrified of hard drugs.
Yeah, no, we like to have fun.
What else we got here? We got Bianca Belair versus Bayley for the SmackDown Women's Championship.
Okay, cool. I'm into this match actually.
That's gonna be fun.
Have we seen them? Like, have a long competitive match like that?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yeah.
We got Rhea Ripley versus Asuka versus Charlotte for the Raw Women's Championship. I'm going to say Rhea Ripley retains.
Hello? Okay.
Yeah. Right. Let's see. We got Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode versus Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio. I think Rey and Dominic are taking the tag belts as father and son.
I'm sick of them.
Why?
I'm sick of Rey and Dominic.
Why?
I'm
Tell
so
why.
Sick of. I'm sick of the overly grown child with the baby daddy. He's a baby, right? He's a baby father. Not like baby daddy.
Rey,
like,
you mean Rey's the baby?
Rey's a baby. He's a tiny little baby.
Do you think Rey should come out on Dominic's shoulders?
I think so. I think he should just cradle him and walk. Like, I don't know, man. I think this has run its course.
Mm.
I don't know why they did what they did with Rey. Think of the matches this guy could have had regularly on pay-per-view. And this is something that's so fascinating to me that... And I'm sure, listen, we get feedback all day long, right? From the F4W people and all those guys that are, you know, they know their stuff. These are dedicated pro wrestling viewers, right?
Yes, and
anybody
journalists.
And journalists. But no, I'm talking about not the people, like their followers.
Oh, okay.
Like
yeah,
on their board, on their message board and everything. their listenership. And we hear from them. And I ask this. I go, why does WWE, every legend that they have brought back, everybody, give me one other than Bill Goldberg that they have treated in a, you know, just protected 100%.
The only one I can think of is almost 20 years ago when they brought back Ricky Steamboat. But they brought,
well, you know what happened with that, right? He had a heart attack.
Well, they brought him back under the pretense that it's going to be comedy. And then they gave him a run.
I think there was somebody else that was supposed to be in that spot.
Yes.
That couldn't do it. And I can't remember who it was. And they put him in there, but there was that huge legal thing about using the name, remember? Because his wife owns the rights to the Ricky Steamboat character.
Or the dragon.
I don't know. Yeah. But that was like a whole thing. But this guy had a tremendous match with Jericho on that show. But that didn't... I'm saying like a guy that they brought back full time, right? Over the last 5 or 6 years, we had Sting return, right? Sting, Bill Goldberg. Yeah. That had matches, not like these one-offs. Sting, Bill Goldberg... Rey Mysterio, Kurt Angle.
Well,
who else? Jeff Hardy, the Hardys, right? The Dudleys,
and Matt Hardy too.
Matt Hardy. They were good with the Dudleys, though.
They were good with the Dudleys.
Very good with the Dudleys.
Here's the thing, like, and I, you know what? I think they're good with the Dudleys because that's Outlaws. Bubba. That's all Bubba. Yeah.
It's 100% all Bubba.
The thing with WWE is that it is a perpetual youth movement. Which means, unless you're an AJ Styles, you're going to get tossed around and shuffled out. And these guys could still go. Look at Mickey James for one thing. Mickey James is 38 years old.
Mickey James is 38?
Yeah. Mickey James is 38.
And, my God, she's a year older than me? No, can't be.
And I think so. No. I'm sorry.
I think she's 30. I think she's 40. No. 41, Mickey
41.
James.
41. I'm sorry. When she was 38, they had her dressed like a granny.
Oh, yeah, it's the WWE. I mean, the things that they put that poor woman through.
It's the ageism in that company is very prevalent. You know,
But considering the fact that everybody in the company is over 40 now, their top guys are all late 30s to 50.
The business, I think, has changed in that regard, but I feel like it's very WWE to start, like, they're going to put the boots to Rey Mysterio and Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle, too. Kurt Angle got, like, done dirty, you know? And say what you want about that, but I don't think... I feel like he ended... his WWE run on a sour note, and I feel like he's going to end up popping up somewhere else.
Who?
Kurt Angle.
I think, you know, they had a chance with him, and I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that, you know, I believe Angle's last match on the indies was with Zack Sabre Jr., or one of his last matches. And he was moving well, really well. And you're like, okay, this guy's still moving. And he came back, and he had the match at WrestleMania, that tag match, and you could see that he's stiff, obviously. He's moving stiff, but he's still going.
Give it a couple of minutes, and then, like, he'll warm up.
And he did. He looked great.
Big Show.
Big Show's another one. But Big Show, they were... I feel like they never treated him like a real legend, because he never had, like, a great legendary run. You know what I mean? Like, he was an attraction, but a Kurt Angle... listen, this is a terrible... comparison, but imagine in this universe Eddie Guerrero did not pass away, right? Do they bring back Eddie and have him lose to Baron Corbin regularly, and I mean embarrassingly lose that much? Yeah, that's what they would have done.
Oh boy,
that is how they work. They think about the moment today, and they don't think about the long run investment. A Rey Mysterio, to kind of bring it back full circle, Rey Mysterio, you could have these... The Andrade stuff was great, but they overdid it, obviously, because they're like, well, let's pair them up forever. Why can't you have, like, a Rey Mysterio match every week on Raw, or once a month? Keep Protect them. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? Why are you putting him out there every week? You don't need to do that. Put him out there once a month on Raw, right?
Well, he's doing it for his kid.
Of course he is. But make it into a big deal. Rey Mysterio in action this week. And you know what? He's challenging for the WWE Championship. Have a competitive match. Have him go challenge for the Cruiserweight title and say, you know what? I'm the one that made this title something.
That would be awesome.
I made this title. And have him work with all those young guys that admire him.
Yeah.
And whoever beats him becomes the next guy. It's so easy. And you know what? AEW does it the right way. They don't want to use these older guys. They don't want to put them in the ring. Guess what? They don't, and it gets over.
Have them cut promos.
Jake Roberts is on TV Weekly.
Tully Blanchard's on TV Weekly.
By the way, great promo by Tully.
Oh, boy.
So, Dolph Ziggler, Robert Roode, we brought that up, and Rey Mysterio, Dominic, or whatever. I think Lumberjack match.
Yeah.
Miz versus Damian Priest. I actually, to be honest with you, there are three matches. Four matches out of the seven that I want to see. Cool. I want to see Roman Cesaro.
Yeah.
I want to see Lashley, Drew, Braun. Right? I'm very into Bobby Lashley right now.
Yeah.
Very into him.
How could you not be?
He's a smooth baby. Just
the big baby.
Big baby.
Yeah.
Smoothest boy ever. You could just glide off of him.
Mm-hmm.
Rhea Ripley, Asuka, Charlotte. That's going to be a great match. Bianca Belair, Bayley. That's going to be a really good match.
Yeah.
Possibly a great match. Dolph Ziggler, Bobby Roode. Okay, this could be a decent match. And sure. Miz and Damian Priest, whatever. It's not a terrible card. It's just, how do you sell this?
For fans that are jilted, don't care, and weren't aware of the pay-per-view.
Yeah. Listen, and I'm extending this question out to everybody,
sure.
Right? And if we chop this up into a clip, this is great, because I really want to know what people think.
Hint, hint.
Hint, hint. Nudge, nudge. And this is honestly my question. I'm not saying it in a sarcastic way or like, oh, you like this stuff. I really want to know. Is who out there sits every Monday, watches Raw, and says, this is a good show. I love this.
Mm-hmm.
This show, forget about you loving wrestling, right? We all love wrestling.
Yes.
The passion I have for wrestling is out of this world.
We're going to wrestle right after this.
And same with you. We're going to tussle.
We're going to tussle a little bit.
Yeah. Do you watch Raw weekly and say, you know what? This is a good 3 hours. I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying every, most of the show. I like it. Tell me why. Mm-hmm. If you're that guy, I want to know what you see.
Or girl.
What you see that I'm missing here, because it has become such a struggle to watch this. And I hate that I have to say that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm not doing my job by not enjoying it. SmackDown, mm-hmm. I can watch SmackDown every week. Last week, SmackDown, 2.3 million viewers.
Yeah.
Right? AEW, there has not been an AEW that I haven't enjoyed in a long time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there are ones that I'm very honest about it when they have a bad show. A couple of weeks ago, they had an show. And we'll talk about that. But NXT, I enjoy. Even if it's not a great show, I still enjoy the show. What is it about Raw that I no longer enjoy? For me, I think it's the fact that it's too produced.
Yes.
It's overly produced, where everything looks too crisp.
Yeah.
The wrestling, I mean, this is, I think many people will understand this. I was talking to my friend Michael B. Jordan from Brooklyn.
The actor?
And I was like, hey, Michael B. Jordan, what do you like about wrestling? He's like, hey, to be honest, I really like The Miz. I don't like John Morrison, and I love Big Bobby Lashley. Hey, Mayor de Blasio, what do you think of Bobby Lashley? And he was just talking to nobody. And I'm like, dude, Mayor de Blasio's not here. He's like, hold on, let me talk to my other friend, Michael Jordan, the basketball player. And he brought him out, and then we were just hanging out, talking about wrestling.
Where was this? And where in Brooklyn was this?
It was at Penn Station.
Yeah?
Yeah, waiting for the train. We were waiting for the one train.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, hey, Andrew, it's me, Michael B. Jordan, the actor from Brooklyn. He had a big Sicilian flag he was waving around, too.
Oh, is he Sicilian, too?
He's Sicilian, too.
Everybody's Italian, man.
Everybody's Italian.
Everybody's Italian. Can we name the title of this episode?
He's like, I'm from Calabria. I'm not from Sicily. I'm from Calabria.
Marone.
Did you see the card that Jess drew? She made me a card, a birthday card, and it's a gabagool on it.
Did you get my friend?
Hey, look, it's Gabagool Man.
Oh my God! I got. Did you watch the video I sent you yesterday?
Which one was it?
My friend Alex. My friends Alex and Elena sent me that yesterday. It was the YouTube Sopranos theme. We'll watch it later. It's pretty good.
Woke up this morning, got some Gabagool. Yeah, I see that. It's fucking great. Yeah.
Great. Anyway, back on track. I know Mr. Gonzo hates it when we have personalities.
It's okay. Our producer's yelling at us in our ear. Sorry, dude.
You want to go into New Japan news?
Yeah. Japanese government extends the state of emergency. They are very concerned in Japan because the Olympics are there in a couple months.
Yeah.
And even though the numbers are not terrible, like we're not talking terrible numbers, but however, only like 3% of the population. Somebody confirmed this. I read earlier last week that only like 3% of the country has been vaccinated, and getting vaccines, getting shots is not really part of the culture there. Like part of, like they don't really do flu shots, you know? So it's been a struggle for them. And I think it's been a struggle for most countries, except for this. I think, you know, say what you want, you know, the handling of the pandemic. I think we did a pretty good job compared to a lot of other countries here. We're a very large country, 300 and something million people. Every state operates differently. Every state is a different culture and different group of people. By the way, I need to talk to you about cultural appropriation.
What did I do?
Because I felt appropriated.
Yeah.
First time in my life. I'm like, you know what? These guys that are screaming about cultural appropriation, I'm in. I get it now.
You want to talk to me about after the air?
No, I'm going to talk to you now.
Okay.
I saw a Midwestern city have a bodega, okay? But it's done as if it's really like a Brooklyn, Bronx, Queens bodega with like the outside being like all like screwy and ugly.
Really?
And the inside, it's aesthetically a New York deli shoved in some Midwestern town.
Really?
And I'm like, you know what?
This is like a thing?
Garbage. This is a thing. I'm like, you pieces of trash. That's appropriating my culture.
Wow.
I got so mad. I was like, I can't believe this. I'm like, you believe this?
Would you go there and
I'd be like, great, dude.
Are we taking a road trip?
You want to go? You want to go to like Kansas?
Yeah, let's go.
To some bodega?
Let's get some barbecue and then go to that bodega. I want you to throw a rock through that bodega's window.
I'm going to throw some rocks at that bodega. This is my culture. Trash. That's my culture. Wrestle Grand Slam show scheduled for Yokohama. May 15th and Tokyo Dome May 29th have been postponed, unfortunately, because I think these were going to be blockbuster shows.
Yeah.
So I really hope things get better over there. AEW, you want to run down the card or go down the... You know what? Let's run down the card first, and then we'll go down news, and then we'll do Q&As.
The card from last night?
We got about 20 minutes here. Yeah.
Okay. I feel like we're going to spend that 20 minutes talking about...
this match.
Jon Moxley versus Yuji Nagata for the IWGP United States Championship. First time Yuji Nagata has been on TNT in, what, 20-something years?
17, 18 years.
And right?
the first match in AEW where not one punch was thrown.
Wow.
It was not a punch thrown in that match. It was a New Japan match, obviously. Yeah. You know what? I got to tell you, man. Jon Moxley,
he's the guy.
He's something else. He was able to change his style, like, totally.
He loves this.
He does love it. He loves wrestling. There's nothing better than when you watch like a guy that you like in wrestling and you realize that they have this passion as much as you do as a fan.
Oh, yeah.
They're a fan. So, like, he's a fan of this. Great match. They could have gone longer. Mm-hmm. I kind of wanted it to go like a couple minutes more. Moxley came out to Onita's Wild Thing.
I think that was a tribute to Onita. Absolutely.
I think so, too. You know? Yeah. Very cool. It is cool that Tony Khan is paying for the rights.
He's the money for the songs.
But they do have that Warner library.
That's true.
That they could use.
Yeah.
I don't know if it would be the same as how WCW was able to use a Warner library, but, you know, it is cool that you're seeing different things like this. Rocky Romero was in the crowd, our friend of the show. Rocky was there. I just DM'd him, actually. I messaged him for to come on. Like 2 days ago.
Yeah, we dropped the ball with him when Wrestle Kingdom came around.
I know. He was like, hey, I'll come on. And then we just couldn't schedule it.
Very hard-hitting match.
Very hard. Enjoyed it.
Mox got busted open on the cheek.
Yeah. Yuji Nagata looked great, man. 53, 54 years old.
He solid. He came out with Ren Narita, his young boy.
Yeah.
His protege.
Yeah.
I really loved how Excalibur talked about the third generation of New Japan stars.
I really like that.
Nagata, Tenzan, Suzuki, how Nagata trained Suzuki, and he had that hard-hitting match with very referential stuff. You know, this stuff really pops me, especially with the New Japan references and the very New Japan style match. As a fan, I loved it. I also would have loved to see, remember Shooter? Yeah. Red Shoes' son.
Yes.
Who kind of became John Moxley's young boy. I would have loved it if Shooter made an appearance, but I think we're going to get more. We're going to get more out of this.
Okay. So the ending was interesting, right? John Moxley bowed to Yuji, and they both I guess they bowed to each other on the floor and then they did their head thing.
They were going to kiss.
They were going to kiss. if I'm going to read too much into it, I think that was the guys, the gates open now.
Absolutely.
That was like their not tribute, but their what would you call that?
Homage?
It was like their presentation that things are open now, you know, like that was their
and
signing.
That we could have these matches.
We could have this. Like that was their mutual respect with the two companies saying like, you know what, we're equals in this. We're going to work together. I think this is phenomenal.
Yeah.
2022 will be a very interesting year for AEW if they keep it up. You know, by the way, I do want to say that there is a lot wrong with this company that I don't like.
Okay.
I don't want to come off as a fanboy, and I also don't want to come off as someone that hates stuff, but there is a lot of stuff that I don't like, but they are very good at correcting it. And I when we get to the main event, I'm gonna say something that will contradict what I've been talking about with Darby Allin for the last couple of weeks.
Okay.
Because I think long-term thinking, they did a great job with this.
Yes.
Okay. So Cody came out.
Oh, one more thing about the New Japan stuff. So I think a lot of credit has to go to Moxley because it seems like a lot of these New Japan guys are going, holy shit, I want to work with this dude.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, absolutely.
That old school style, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Tanahashi, man, I'm telling you.
Tana's coming. Okada's coming. Ibushi's
coming.
They're all coming. Everybody's going to be here. It's going to be very interesting. Very, very interesting. Cody comes out.
Mm-hmm.
This dude is huge. I mean, he's so big. He's such a big dude, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he cut he said, obviously, he's facing Anthony Ogogo at Double or Nothing. Mm. He cut a great, like, USA versus the world promo.
Mm-hmm.
He spoke about, you know, he's in a interracial relationship. He's going to have a kid that's white and black,
mm-hmm.
Talking about America. He cut the Living the American Dream promo.
Absolutely.
You know?
Hearts and minds.
And you know what? I love that stuff. I'm all about unity. 100%. I'm all about, you know, forget about everything going on in the world. But at the end of the day, we're all American. And mm-hmm. I truly believe, and I think this is the truth, there's more good in this country than the bad. The bad is tiny little freaking pocket. It doesn't represent this country at all. But he came off. I mean, the internet was attacking him as tone deaf. And I'm like, guys, come on.
I disagree with that.
I totally disagree with that. Can we stop, like, dissecting these things? Like,
it's pro wrestling.
It's a television show. It's, yeah, obviously there's truth behind it. What he's saying, obviously, you know, he is married to a black woman. He's having a child. He lives, he's lived this life of being the star, American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, all about unity, America, all this stuff. And he comes off tone deaf. I'm like, he's the epitome of living the American dream, man.
Yeah.
He had a dead end job, you know, even with his father's efforts and everything. He had a dead end job. He was unhappy. He met his wife at his job. You know, the epitome of America, different races, different cultures all coming together. He left, started his own business, and it's been pretty successful.
Literally picked himself up by his bootstraps. His
literally
bootstraps.
By the way, that's racist. You can't say that.
Oh boy.
You can't say that anymore. But like, how do you dislike this? I'm cool. I loved it. I thought it was cool.
I loved it too. I feel like people need to take this stuff with a grain of salt because A, it's entertainment. He's a character. He's the son of the American dream, Dusty Rhodes, you know, the son of a plumber. But I think people misconstrue that promo and calling it tone deaf for the wrong reason.
Why do you think they're calling it tone deaf?
Because I think a lot of people who hate watch this kind of stuff do it through a foggy lens.
And Cody has a lot of people that dislike him.
Right. Well, to navigate it, he was cutting the promo in order to get to the match, right? He's putting asses in seats.
Yeah.
Right? His promo was basically like, you drape the Union Jack over me, that's not going to happen on my watch, and this is why. You know, like, I fought hard, my dad fought hard, I love this country, I'm all about peaceful race relations, you know, like, and also, by the way, when Cody gets choked up during those promos, I get choked up. I was sitting on my couch like, but I think he's under a weird microscope where people can't stand him, you know? I don't think it was tone deaf at all. I think him saying, hey, this is the American dream, I'm living it, I'm not the American nightmare for this one match, I'm the American dream.
Does it come out like his dad?
Yeah, I would love that. But also, like, think about it. Who does he work for? He works for Tony Khan. Who's Tony Khan's dad? Don't say Shere Khan.
Shere Khan?
Don't Shere Khan.
Shaka Khan. Okay. No?
Is it
Shaka Khan's mom and the dad.
Like, the older Khan, aren't they living the American dream too?
Of course. Listen, you know? The guy, you know, I mean, he's a billionaire, you know, but yeah, of course. Listen, I think anybody that gets successful, and I don't think people realize how difficult it is to become successful, even if you have the assist of having a wealthy parent that worked hard, right?
Yeah.
I don't look at people and say like, well, you know, his dad, he's relying on his father. You know what? I know a lot of rich kids that do nothing in their lives and they've accomplished zero.
Yeah.
I know more people that come from wealthy families that have accomplished nothing than I do that were able to continue the generation of being successful.
Yeah.
Listen, man, I applaud anybody that's been able to be successful in their lives.
Absolutely.
I don't have like millionaire hatred that a lot of people do now. Like millionaire hatred. I look at it as, dude, you were able to accomplish something that nobody else has because you put in work.
Yeah, your email is BezosFan6969. Yeah, yeah.
Bezos Musk to the moon at AOL.com. That's my email. to the moon. By the way, I love what a weirdo Elon Musk is.
Yeah.
He really is bonkers. He's a weird dude.
Well, he came out and said he had Asperger's on Saturday Night Live. So, you know.
Good for him. Good for him. AEW World Tag Team Championship. I thought this was a really good match. Young Bucks, Matt and Nick defeated SCU. Chris Daniels was bleeding all over the place.
I got concerned.
Oh, you know what? It was actually heavy.
It was gnarly, man. I think he clipped. I want to say he clipped like right here, like where the eyebrow meets the bone, when he took that super kick, and it just he was spilling blood, man.
Very good job with that. So they lost, and now they're broken up. That's it. There was the Flair Michaels spot where he said "I love you" with the super kick.
So good,
very cool.
A lot of people
enjoyed it.
A lot of people didn't like that they didn't get the reaction of SCU splitting up and cut to Mox and Kingston destroying the Elite's locker room.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that they didn't give it enough time, but I thought it was good.
They cut a nice promo. The Elite cut a nice promo in the back. So now we're getting Mox and Kingston versus the Young Bucks at Double or Nothing. Cool. I feel like that's going to be a good match.
You think they're taking the titles?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. I think it'll add. Mm. Moxie, Eddie Kingston, we spoke about. This leads to a title match. AEW World Championship Eliminator, Orange Cassidy with Best Friends versus Pac. It was a no contest. So it was supposed to be a time limit draw.
Right.
Orange Cassidy, I think he got concussed from that powerbomb. He snapped his head so hard on that freaking mat.
Who knows what it was, but if you look at the clip, it was the super kick it could have been the super kick into the powerbomb, but that two-move combo knocked him out.
Yeah, so it's a... I think this is a good idea to make this a three-way match for the title. I get that obviously Kenny Omega's... In my opinion, he's retaining because that's part of the story, right? Because he's the belt collector.
Yeah.
But I do think an Orange Cassidy match would not have had the same pop as incorporating Pac into this.
Okay.
Pac into this. So I'm actually glad about this. I think this is better. And I think it's going to be a very entertaining match.
Yeah.
Compared to last week when I said I really don't want to see Orange Cassidy and Kenny Omega in a title match because I can't believe that as much as I possibly can for... I'm not talking for myself. I'm talking in general. Suspension of disbelief. Yeah. I don't think Orange Cassidy could beat Kenny Omega.
If you enjoy self-aware, absurdist humor, then you will love Orange Cassidy.
And I don't like it. I don't like it in this element.
Mm-hmm.
The Pinnacle comes out. Tully cut a hell of a promo.
Oh, my God.
No script, just hitting the points. Gave them Rolexes. They didn't say it was Rolexes.
Nice but
watches. They gave him. I feel like he wanted to say these are $20,000 Rolexes, and he stopped himself so he doesn't lie. Mm-hmm. He's like, I got these guys nice watches, and whenever you look down and you're doubting yourself and your abilities, know that Tully Blanchard gave you this watch.
That's pretty cool.
I'm like, all right.
That's pretty. And also, like, him yelling like, we're the Pinnacle, we're at the top, and we're looking down at the rest of you.
Horseman promo.
And in my head, I'm like, oh, once a horseman. Once a horseman, always,
always
a horseman.
Always a horseman, man. You know? Great, great promo. Here comes the Inner Circle with a with a champagne cannon, I guess.
And it's like a champagne dude buggy.
Dude, first of all, I thought the whole segment was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I would have loved if it was like just a pool of champagne and Jericho's like in it getting restored, like a restoration.
Oh, like a Lazarus pit.
Yeah. So he's just getting restored to his full strength in the champagne. They gave them a champagne bath and next, at the pay-per-view, we're getting a stadium stampede match between the Inner Circle and the Pinnacle.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Inner Circle loses, they need to disband.
I like it, man. I enjoy MJF coming out with the crown. I liked Wardlow kicking it to the ladies.
By the way, this is that parallel booking that I'm... So we had a disbandment happen, and now we're talking about it. Like, this is where I think they get ideas in their head, and they're like, well, we'll use it here, too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't...
It works.
I don't know how I feel about it. Like, I guess I don't... Maybe it's that WWE doesn't do stuff like that, or they shouldn't. Mm-hmm. Actually, no, they do that shit all the time.
Yeah.
Where they get something stuck in it. So, it's fine. I'm cool with this. Let's see how I like this match.
Okay.
Because I didn't like the first one, and if people think I'm freaking nuts...
Yep.
The other question is, wouldn't it have made more sense to do the Stadium Stampede match first before you have that live crowd on a pay-per-view? So what are they going to do? They're gonna just go to a screen? They're going to pre-record this and play it in the building?
Yeah.
All right, we'll see. I don't know. It could be phenomenal. I don't know.
Yeah. If they learn from the first one, this one will probably be better.
Yeah. Britt Baker sit down with Jim Ross. I didn't hear this one. What'd you think? It was good.
It was good. It was good. She's good, man. She's money. She's gold. I think she's taking that belt off of Hikaru Shida at Double or Nothing.
Thunder Rosa defeated Jasmine Allure. I did not see this match.
Thunder Rosa is so dominant.
Very.
And made Jasmine Allure come off as like the indiest.
Yeah.
Match. Do you think, how did you feel about this main event?
Okay. So I could not believe Darby Allin's in his like third or fourth main event in a row. It was something. He's been in the main event every week, right? Yeah. So while watching it, you know, that Miro buildup, that package, that video package they put out, I was like, wow, you know what? I'm kind of into this.
Yeah.
As soon as Miro came out, I knew he was winning that title.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He looked remarkable, dude. I knew he was winning it. I thought they did a great job with it. The ending was weird with Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page attacking Darby and Sting. And then here comes the Dark Order. They did a whole thing. So obviously this is going to lead to some big thing now. All right. I'm cool with it. I think Miro with this title is the beginning of this. Last week, you and I were talking about, you know, when is the time to pull the trigger on Miro? Obviously, it's now.
Great.
He looked really good in the match.
When do you think they're going to turn him into Zangief?
Oh, it's happening. Mm. Daily.
Because as soon as he came out the red trunks, I was like, this guy just needs a mohawk.
And the hair is growing, right? Yep. The chest hair is growing. Awesome. Loved it. Next week on Dynamite, we'll go through this fast. NWA Women's World Champion Serena Deeb versus Red Velvet, AEW World Tag Team Championship match. Young Bucks versus the Varsity Blondes, which I want to talk to you about the Pillman stuff. Chris Cage versus Matt Sydal and Anthony Ogogo with the Factory against Austin Gunn. So now for Double or Nothing, here are the matches. Hangman Page versus Brian Cage.
Excited.
This could be a good match.
Excited.
Cody, the American Dream, with Arn Anderson versus Anthony Ogogo with The Factory. Excited for this.
Excited.
AEW Women's Championship match. Shida versus Britt Baker. This is Britt Baker's moment now that they're going in front of a live audience. I think Britt Baker needs to get this title. AEW World Championship match. Kenny Omega versus Pac versus Orange Cassidy.
Excited.
And the Pinnacle versus Inner Circle in the Stadium Stampede. And we got the Casino Battle Royal.
Great.
News for AEW. Last week's Blood and Guts was the highest rated show on cable.
Ever.
Of all time.
Of all time.
They had about 1.1 million. Highest rated show on cable. Really good accomplishment. Double or Nothing will be in a full capacity building. Tickets go on sale, I believe, tomorrow? Right? Friday?
I think so.
It's going to be interesting to see how fast these sell. Because for Blood and Guts, they thought they would have 2,400 people in that building. And they did not. Yes, it was a Wednesday. People, you know, it wasn't a big pay-per-view. But they had about half of that. So we'll see what happens with the tickets. AEW Fan Fest on Saturday, the 29th. Live Dynamite on Friday, the 28th. This will be after SmackDown because there's an NBA playoff game. So interesting. I'm curious to see what that does. July 7th, AEW goes to James L. Knight Center in Miami, Miami, Florida. July 14th, the HBE Center. It is your birthday. HBE Center in Cedar Park, Texas. And July 21st at the Curtis Coolwell Center in Garland, Texas. And Ricky Starks out for 3 months with a fractured neck.
I hope he'll he's be okay. Fine.
No surgery needed.
I hope he's all right.
Let's see, Double or Nothing we did. Other stuff, obviously, we spoke about WWE going July 16th. We'll start having a live audience for TV. What did you think of the Brian Pillman Dark Side of the Ring, both parts?
I liked it. Also, like, I feel like it's very, like, not horrifying, but it just goes to show you what a different era the 90s were.
You know? Very different era.
And this dude, and you know what? I got to hand it to the guy. He popped out kids left and right illegitimately, but then he was like, you know what?
I'm a dad.
Let me take care of all the kids at once.
Very, it was sad. My wife and my gauge on these is if Jess enjoys them.
Yeah.
And she very much did. She thought it was a very good documentary, yeah. A very sad story. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen the Booker T one.
It's like, good.
Is it good?
It's good. It's very okay. good. It's solid. It's very good. It's really, really good, to be honest.
And Nick Cage is this week, so I'm curious what they do. Take him or leave him.
Skeeves you out?
Yeah, a little bit.
You know what? You know what episode I'm looking forward to?
What?
Collision in Korea.
Yeah, because there's a lot of question about that. Yeah, that is a wild encounter. Q&A time, boys and girls. Submit your questions in the chat. Guys, also, do us a favor. Follow us on Twitter. At Andrew Zarian, at BTC Rich, Matt Men Podcast, everywhere. We're on TikTok. Matt Men is on TikTok. It's on YouTube. It's everywhere. So subscribe everywhere. Q&A time, and then we're going to go get drunk.
Hell yeah. We're going to bang these out real
quick.
Let's do
it.
Sam at YMA Six Rocks asks, so what if Daniel Bryan came back to WWE, but under a new name and gimmick?
What would you do?
The American Dragoon.
Dragoon, the American Dragoon. I don't know where he's going. This could all be a work. They could still be negotiating. I know that he wants to go do other stuff. He feels like he's at the end of his career at this point. So he wants to experience. Another 5-year contract is not going to happen for him in WWE.
I say let him breathe.
Let him breathe.
G1. Yeah. G1 2021, baby.
Yeah, man, I'd love it.
Let's see. How would you book? This is a question that got sent to me during the week. How would you book a... Oh, whoops. Okay. How would you book a 3 pay-per-view feud between Asuka and Baszler? The response I gave this guy, Ryan Tiffany, was first match, 2 out of 3 falls, Asuka wins.
Okay.
Second match, I think I had them in a cage match. Asuka barely wins.
Okay.
Third match, just like a really brutal, bloody, no holds barred match.
Okay.
Shayna wins.
I would say WWE, the way that they would book this would be it would end in a TLC match.
Okay, sure.
That's how WWE would do it. They would give you one of those options.
Mecha Meech asks, why does Raw get the rating it does when it's not a good show? 1.8 million.
I think that's not a good rating.
For a Monday Night Show?
Yeah. I think they get it because it's habit that people tune in on Mondays, even when they don't watch it. It's been on for 30 something years on the same channel on Monday nights, you know, 30 years now. So I think it's just a habit. And I think they do have fans. You know, obviously there is. There's a million, there's a million 1.5 to 3 million people that watch. That are fans of regularly watch. There's about 5 or 6 million people that come in and out watching wrestling on SmackDown. So there's a lot of people that watch it still.
I do think a lot of those people, like myself, just keep it on and then do other things in the house.
Yeah, I think people realize like when this is an average rating, but the amount of people that tune in is way more.
Right.
Like that's why wrestling is so popular. Like they're like, well, the ratings are low, but yeah, but the ratings are low. It just means that they're not capturing people's attention for long enough to capture that metric.
Mm-hmm.
But in and out, there's millions that come in and out throughout the day.
All right. We got a question from Fifth Generation Carney. What is Killer Cross's gimmick? Is he a shoot fighter, a biker, a Vegas lounge magician, or a gladiator?
A little of both.
He is everything. He is the synergy of all those combined.
Yeah, he is a gladiator because he has a gladiator pants.
He's got
pants. He's also tatted up, and he's into mysticism. Maybe he's into the occult. That's his gimmick.
He's just like a dude who reads the occults. Like, he's really into like Anton LaVey.
Yeah. He's very much into Anton LaVey.
John Gorman asks, do you guys feel that AEW doing Stadium Stampede at Double or Nothing? Who erased the question as I was reading it? Moving on. I think you did by accident.
No, I didn't even touch it.
Oh, boy. Have you guys heard any of the rumors about AEW starting their second show in November on Fridays?
I have not heard anything about that. I could ask, though. I could ask about that. I have heard, however, that... I have heard that WWE's second NXT will be... delete it because you talked about it already.
Okay.
I think we're going to find out about the NXT show, but I think for AEW, you know, there's a lot of shows out there right now. They got 3 shows. I don't watch all of them every week. I just watch the top matches from them. All right. What else? Do we have anything else?
I think we're good, man. Like, questions, I'm pretty sure we're... let's check the chat room. I think we might be done.
I think we are done.
I think we're done. Are you all done?
Right. I'm done. I'm ready to start my day.
Are you ready to get done?
I'm ready to get done. All right, guys. Listen, that's it for this week. Rich and I are going to be out. We're going to be at Bourbon Street on Bell Boulevard. Send your gifts there. Let them know it's for us.
Rooftop, baby.
Rooftop.
I'm going to throw Andrew off the roof.
He's going to throw me off the roof. Yeah, we're going to have a nice rooftop afternoon.
Rooftop brawl.
Rooftop brawl. There you go. All right, guys. We'll see y'all next time.
Later.
Take care. Bye.